Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Doll. Is that
hey,
you?
Hey, Doll.
Is that you, Doll?
That's me, Doll.
Oh, my
me.
God. You're back, Doll. You're back from the East Coast, Doll.
Darling, I was on the East Coast. It was really nice.
I'm emotional being back.
You're emotional?
Even though we're not back in person because Lara has a little bit of a New England cold.
I have a summer cold. It's the pits. It's not even a bad cold. It's just like an annoying cold. And I don't want to get anyone sick.
Is it like this?
So we're zooming. Yeah, it's just like one of those light colds that you're not super sick, but you don't feel 100% in my brain. I just feel like brain foggy and like I'm not operating at a hundo. You know what I mean? And I was looking forward to like feeling so refreshed when I got back and like hitting the fucking ground running. But instead, I'm just like soft launching into this week, which is fine, I suppose.
Feels right for the time.
Yeah, it's a soft launch.
That's a very, like, East Coast troll. Like, oh, you want to go back to the West? Here's a cold bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, my bag is just in air right now.
No.
My bag did not make it. I had a moment where I literally tracked it on a map, and I pushed, like, track my bag, and I was able to zoom in on my bag still in New York. While I was in Los Angeles, and I just said, look at you. Look at you traveling all by yourself, staying a little bit longer, soaking up the vibes of the East Coast.
She was like, I'm going to stay an extra night and have dinner.
I need a minute, she said. She said, I want to check out the Delta Sky Lounge.
She had one too many martinis at the lounge.
She did, and she just could not get on the plane in time.
God, air travel right now is a fucking troll.
I guess it is. I guess Delta just cannot catch a break. The failing Delta cannot get their shit together. And like, I'm not even one of those people who likes to like airline shame. Like, it really is NBD as long as the bag comes back to me. But like, Delta's really going through it right now.
Yeah, there's actually nothing more embarrassing when then you see someone that you like respect and admire taking to Twitter to like shame airlines for lost luggage or wait times. I'm just like, that's one of those, I don't need to be seeing this. This is too intimate. It's too much. It's like getting an x-ray of someone and I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I've definitely done that in the past, like in social media 1.0, like have had a moment. I'm sure you could probably search my tweets and see me like talking shit about someone, probably Southwest Airlines, but like,
well,
they deserve it. And B, I've learned my lesson and I would rather actually get stabbed than publicly come for an airline, get indignant about my belongings, unless they were to like steal stuff out of my luggage. But
you might get stabbed.
We might have
that's actually
your foot.
That's not that unlikely anymore.
No, I know it's happened before, American. I'm looking at you. But like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I kind of love that my bag just decided to travel on her own time.
Yeah, she was like, you know what?
I'm not ready yet.
I'm not ready to leave New York.
Mm-mm.
Were you?
She needed one night in the Big Apple. One night in Queens.
That's annoying though. At least you're back.
It's fine. I was like, I had like some stuff that I had put in the carry-on, so I wasn't like totally just like bereft, and like I had my brush.
I always take my medication.
Oh yeah. Meds were I wouldn't even be able to like.
No, I know. I know you would never. But I always
So that's like it's just a troll. So we're soft launching. It's a soft launch this week.
But you know what? You got off your ass and you went on vacation. It feels like feels like no one's going on vacation right now. AKA, that's the opposite. That's a total lie. Everyone is in Europe. Everyone is in Italy, Europe. Which I'm also like, prayers up for Europe right now, going through this heat wave. I wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah. Everyone's in Italy. I'm like, how is everyone richer than me?
The gays are all in Capri or Greece.
Capri. It used to be Greece, but now it's Italy.
Positano.
So everyone's having my Italy journey. But you know what? It was nice. I went to Martha's Vineyard and it was so beautiful. And I was telling Carrie offline, I love a Massachusetts like summer destination.
Mm.
And there's nothing like it. It's gorgeous. I love like the threat of Lyme disease just like lurking.
Ugh,
and
it feels so
being tick free. Yeah.
That feels very that's kind of aspirational. When you're fearing Lyme, that means that you're in like a rich area.
Oh. Yeah. At any time a tick could descend upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And the beaches are beautiful and it's just like a laid back, easygoing vibe.
How is the water?
Nature. The water is PT, perfect temperature.
Mm. The Atlantic
stayed behind on the beach one day. Yeah, the Atlantic is way better. I like beached one day and just like read. And it was great. I like read a whole book and I jumped off the Jaws Bridge. I did like all the teens gather on this bridge known as the Jaws Bridge. And they stand on top of it and jump off like 20 feet into the ocean below. And I joined the teens and I jumped off two times and I truly was like, I feel young again. I felt like a rush of youth and excitement.
As my great aunt in Salem would say, youth.
Youth. Yeah. I reconnected to my youth, my youthful energy.
I love that. Step aside, teens.
Mm-hmm.
Let a mama will show you how it's done.
I literally looked like a freak. I was like holding my nose.
I love when people hold their nose when they dive in.
I have to hold a nose. I cannot. How do you not get water up your nose, or do you just get a water blast in the nas and then you just accept that?
Listen, as a former swimmer, I'm just used to it. I don't feel the need to hold my nose, but I understand why people do it.
Yeah. I just am not ready for that kind of aquatic assault on my sinuses.
I mean, when I was 3 years old, my dad literally dropped me off the 3-meter dive because I was begging him to take me off it, and his friend caught me, and it was like he took my swimmies off, held me over and dropped me into the drink. So I sort of like was almost forced into aquatic assault from a young age. And it honestly, I'm grateful for it, but the water is a harsh mistress.
She is, and currents. A teen kicked one of my Crocs off the bridge by accident, and it went floating out into the abyss. And my friend who I was with, she was like, oh my God, her croc. And to her husband, she's like, you have to go get that. Like, jump off this bridge and go swim out. And he was like, no. And the teen goes, I'll get it. And then this like virile young teen jumped off the bridge and swam out like 100 feet and rescued my croc and brought it back to me. And I was like, wow, incredible. I said, my hero. And he was like, well, not really, because I kicked it off. So sorry.
God, trying to.
And I was like, all right.
Just allow a compliment. Just
thanks for getting that.
Those post or pre, well, I don't even know what they're called. Gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't give you anything.
I think he's a Gen Z.
You give them a compliment, they're like, okay.
They're honest to a fault. I read that Gen Z now uses TikTok more than Google to find information. And I'm obsessed with that fact. And it makes me want to use TikTok more than Google to find information. And
yeah,
then it led me to a place where I was like, wow, China is truly taking over one step at a time. And honestly, I can't fault them for that. It's a genius tactic. And it is what it is, Dole.
They're getting off their asses every day.
China loves to fucking get off their ass and fucking work. And it shows.
I mean, TikTok and Google are both evil, so it's like, whatever.
You might as well be entertained every once in a while.
Yeah.
Google is not an entertaining place these days.
Google's scary.
You can't actually even really find anything that you want to know on Google. You find what Google wants you to know, and I don't trust that. Follow the money!
Last night, Simon just held up his, on one of his, you know when they do those, like, you open Google on your phone or something, and it has, like, stories for you. It just said
stories,
like it has articles lined up, like before you put in your thing into the search bar, it has articles like suggested for you.
Oh, I haven't seen that on your phone. I guess I just use Safari. Yeah, on my iPhone.
I do too. They're always so weird. The stories are all like he was like, look, this is an article about Terminator 2. And I was like, well, we talk about that movie a lot.
It's listening,
but it's not really useful. And, but whatever. TikTok has like fun. And I mean, some of the stuff is probably not real, but at least it's, you'll have fun being lied to.
Yeah. You'll find some things that are fake. You'll find some things that are real. And then you will find an answer of sorts. And it will be an adventure that you'll never forget. So I'm game.
Love that. Yeah. I watched The Bear.
Thank God.
And your per your suggestion, and everyone was fucking talking about it.
Yeah. It's the hottest show on TV.
Literally, like, everyone on that show is hot.
I want to fuck every single person on that show. And it got renewed.
They're all amazing.
For a season.
I know.
Two. So we love to see it.
Truly guffawed at that episode, that one take episode.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Oh, the 20 minute episode, like the second to last one. That was one take. Damn. Yeah. They're so good. I didn't even realize.
Obsessed with the, what's the guy's name? Michael's, the older brother's best friend.
Cousin.
I love him.
Love him. Love everyone.
Love Tina.
Yeah.
Sydney. It's just, it's so good. It's, I was kind of like, I'll try it. And then immediately obsessed.
Yeah. But it's a stress fest.
Long.
Mm-hmm. But in a really, it pays off. Like, the stress has a lot of payoff. Like, it's like a show that I would watch again. Unlike Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems was really stressful for kind of no reason. And it just, like, really deeply stressed me out with, like, not a lot of payoff. I need to, like, stress with a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
A pot of gold. And it kind of, when I worked at the Standard in the restaurant, it brought me back to like being in the kitchen and hearing behind chef. Thank you, chef. You know, like that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
When there would be a few times where I would food run. Just all that stress. I love it.
Yeah. I don't think work well in an environment like that.
No, it's, I mean, I wasn't in, like Simon used to be a sous chef, so he was fully in that world. And he said it was very accurate, but even the glimpses that I had of it when I worked, I was scared. for my life.
I was like a hostess once at a restaurant for about 2 weeks before I got fired when I was like 16 or 17. But I didn't really like get a sense of the kitchen other than the guys that like worked in the kitchen that like smoked weed and we'd like loll with each other.
It's a glam job.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I love like I would love to date a chef of some sort just so they can deal with like cooking.
Yeah.
That would be fun. But or just a foodie, but not like a annoying foodie, a hot foodie. A hot tortured like, foodie that is like past the peak of their torture, but is like coming off mm-hmm. of the torture and like dealing with it on the other side.
AKA Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah. Worth the, as we said, as that Twitter person said, worth the yeast infection. You feel it too.
Totally worth yeah. it. Yeah. Didn't realize he's married to Addison Timlin, who was in this amazing movie I mentioned on the pod called Little Sister,
mm-hmm.
about like the goth nun. And she's Dakota Johnson's best friend. And her daughter is Dakota Johnson's goddaughter.
Wow.
Very chic.
That's incredibly chic. What a small world.
She's gorge. He's fucking
devoted husband.
Devoted young father, young husband.
I know, it's sexy. It's really sexy.
And there's all these photos of them with like Dakota at the farmer's market. She's like holding the baby.
Wow. Wow. What a life.
What a life. I also was tickled last night because Salma Hayek, Rump the Queen, Salma Hayek.
Rump the Queen, hosted... Whisper to Owls.
Owl Whisperer. Owl Whisperer.
We should, Salma should investigate. I wonder what her opinion on The Staircase is. Just a side note.
Oh! Wait, Ivana Trump.
Dead.
Dies. Mm-hmm. Falling down the stairs.
I know. That was shocking. I was like, she got staircased. Who did it?
Were you shunked?
I was shunked. Yeah.
That was, I was like, this is, I mean, they've ruled it a total accident, but I'm like.
She like had a heart attack and fell down her slippery mansion stairs. And I read something that was like, friends of hers always thought this is the way that she would go. They were always worried. And I'm like, that's honestly really glam to be like, I want a grand staircase. And I'm old as fuck and have heart problems and might die falling down this staircase. But God damn it, I'm in a staircase anyways. And then you do succumb to the stairs. That's a staircase glam death I can get behind.
That's when you're so wealthy and like your life is so like not realistic or not attainable that your friends fear for you from falling down. Like that, some friends are like, oh, I'm worried for my friend. They're drinking a lot. They're doing a lot of drugs. No, with Ivana, it's, we're worried she's going to fall down a flight of stairs and die.
Like literally she,
and she did.
Her entire life was like going to lunch, eating like clam linguine. Falling asleep at the lunch table and then being like softly escorted back to her huge like staircase townhouse of sorts. And the whispers behind the scenes were like, she will fall one day. Like, what will happen? Do you think she's going to yeah. fall? And then, sure enough, she fucking fell. It's cool.
She fell.
It's mm-hmm. fucking rock star. It's rock star shit.
It's rock star love. Also, speaking of the whole...
But so what did Salma, Salma do?
Let's get back to that,
because I want to know.
She posted a series of videos... It was the first photo was a paparazzi picture of her and Tom Cruise entering a restaurant. And the caption was, when you take your friend Tom out to eat. And the subsequent videos were just throngs of people in the restaurant screaming, paralyzed with starred, you know, coming up to Tom begging for, and he's taking selfies with every single person in the restaurant. They're all like, ah, ah, ah. It's just mobs of people and Salma's filming it. She's filming him being mobbed and just laughing. And it's like the faces everyone had on, like just pure shock at seeing Tom Cruise.
Fun.
And I was like, and it just was kind of fun to see another celebrity being like, wow, I'm in the midst of a star.
It'd be fun to go out with someone that was so famous, they commanded a throng of screamers just one time, just so you're like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Like, Salma's a pretty
established, she's a
true star.
People don't
but
scream for her.
And I like the humility in the post of like, I'm famous, but this person is next level. And it was just funny. And he looked hot.
There are a few, some being scream famous is its whole own other thing.
I would scream if I saw Tom Cruise. I would want a selfie.
A selfie with the king.
I'd be like you with Mike.
The situation. He's the only person that's made me scream.
I would scream for Tom Cruise. I would scream for Gaga. But yeah, I thought it was a very poignant. And it was just fun to, I was like, yes, I want more of this. This is the celeb news. All the celeb news lately has been about either Elon Musk or his father or Nick Cannon breeding.
Yeah, we're really focused on breeders these days. Men spreading their seed and having so many children.
Nick Cannon recently said, I expect 3 more by the end of the year. What?
Is that just his... Is he rich? Is he rich like that to like have enough?
He's rich. He's fucking rich.
Then
he's hosted so many shows. He's been like the Mariah. He probably got money from Mariah.
Yeah. He's been working for a long time.
But Elon Musk had a child with
his former top executive. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then his dad had multiple children with his former stepdaughter. And his father said, the only purpose in this world is to breed.
They're breeders.
And I'm like, this is it. They're like, they know the world's ending. And they're like, gotta get my cum out there.
But I might have a kid with one of them if I was guaranteed a breed fund.
Like Grimes?
Yeah. Like, I want to be promised the money.
Grimes has 3 kids with him. I think she has a 3rd one on the way.
That's just smart. I mean, because...
No, it...
Might as well.
Fucking your stepdaughter is sick.
What?
His father having children with his former stepdaughter is sick.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. But it's not blood relative. Blood relative. It's clueless.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
fucking rock star.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
I'm just so... I'm literally like the only thing Daily Mail posts now is about rich men having children with multiple women.
Rich men doing that and like Sophia Richie on a yacht. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, can we just keep it moving, people? Enough. I've seen enough of her. But yeah, much to think about.
Mm-hmm.
A baby with like a huge fund attached is definitely something I'm interested in.
I support that.
I think I'd prefer Nick Cannon because he's much hotter.
He's hotter and seems more fun.
I think we could make a really beautiful spawn together. I worry that me and Elon, I don't know if my genes would like trump his in like the looks department.
Yeah. He has like... Anyway.
Anyway, that's all I'm saying. That's my way in.
Speaking of another way in, you were just in New England.
Mm-hmm.
It might be time to return to it.
It certainly is time to head to Western Massachusetts.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Laura. And you're listening
to... And you're listening to...
Sexy, Unique...
Unique...
Podcast.
Podcast.
Berkshire's Revisited.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. God, we are fully... I'm so glad to be back. I feel like I was... There were so many things I wanted to say, but I was like, ugh, I don't have a voice.
Yeah.
This week.
No, it's great to be back in the Berserkshires. As a recent traveler to Massachusetts, I have to say that I, like, really love it there.
You're called.
I'm called. I'm seeing... I'm loving, like, just a New England vibe in general.
My parents met on the Massachusetts coast.
There's a magical feeling to the coast, and I believe that there's a magical feeling to Western Mass as well, but there's a horrific feeling of dread and true destruction at one Bluestone Manor.
Which I always forget was just named by Ramona.
It was named Bluestone Manor by Ramona?
Dorinda, I forgot there was a flashback in the most recent episode that Dorinda, which we'll talk about next time, that Dorinda was like, I don't know what to call it. And Ramona was like, you gotta call it Bluestone Manor.
It was not, what was it before? Just the house, the Berkshire's house?
Just the house, yeah.
Damn. Dorinda's out here acting like this is like the hardest thing she's ever done is own a house. Can we just like have a moment for that?
Dorinda, when she's on the fucking hot air balloon talking about an aerial shot of all her success, I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, it's not like you got a lot of help.
I'm just literally so proud of myself that as a woman, I was able to keep this house. I was like, you inherited a mansion and like millions of dollars.
$40 million.
Your husband died. Like, all you have to do is throw money at the problem and the house remains. Like, I get that it's stressful and has like emotions tied up in it, but like, it is not.
Yes.
Like, I, in her world of her and the problems that inhabit it, I guess it is a huge accomplishment to just keep your mansion up and running. I guess go
like
off.
The whole like,
yeah, if that's your work that you're proud of, I guess that's fine. I would love a mansion to just have to keep.
I just love her being like, as a woman, I'm like, honey, is this the Gilded Age? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't think gender comes into play.
No, but she's. It sounds so like weirdly antiquated. It's like, as a woman, I'm so proud of all the accomplishments. I'm like, I'm sorry, but you got like $40 million.
As a woman, I'm like, just so proud to be able to still own property. She's like living.
Your money is making money every fucking day. Like, you, everything that you, all of your liquid assets are making double that every day. Like, you're good, huh?
We are in the time where I think it's a very popular thing to preface some accomplishment that any gender identity could have or do with as a woman.
But making it,
you're like, as a woman,
yeah.
Just as a woman, I'm just proud that I was able to get up at 7 a.m. today. Like, it's things like that. And I think people should do that more. Just start to say, as a woman, I'm really proud that.
As a gay man, I'm proud that I bought a new candle.
Mm-hmm.
Boy smells.
Own your accomplishments.
So good.
And what they mean for everyone who identifies as you identify.
As a gay man.
As a woman, I'm proud to have been able to go on vacation in Martha's Vineyard.
Dorinda wakes up. I love Dorinda. You know, and there's people like this. Dorinda's whole thing of pretending to never be hungover. As someone who was hungover every day of my life for years, mm-hmm. I'm like, bitch, I know you're lying.
She goes, Alka-Seltzer.
I can feel that.
Alka-Seltzer
is my best friend.
Saved me for years. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Normally I'm not hungover, but today I'm like, you are hungover every second of your life.
Every day you wake up, you face a low-grade hangover. If I was still pounding Alka-Seltzer in my 50s, I would need someone to drop kick me into the nearest like AA meeting.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I never like to like, you know, attraction not promotion. First off, but with Dorinda, I'm like promote.
You promote it, bitch.
You gotta go.
Jill Zarin.
I'll go with you.
Yeah. Jill Zarin is terrified in the attic. She's truly looks like she's been crying all night, which she has. And she's doing, as a woman, she is scared in the attic. She goes, she's like, close the door. They might hear you. She's been harrowed by Dorinda coming for her after she just suggested laying on a bed watching someone record their radio show, turned into the indictment of the century and burned two women alive. They like self-immolated because of that suggestion.
It's like this trip is like in the movie The Village, how every night they have to like hide inside and like leave trap like offerings. It's like every night this ghoul emerges from this fog of the Berkshires outside and like terrorizes people one by one. And last night it was Miss Zarin's turn.
Yeah, the ghoul of The Village is just Dorinda's alcoholism.
And Dorinda's walking around going, I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. Meanwhile, there's a hot air balloon being set up in the backyard, which just freaked me out to no end.
It was weird, but then I was like, okay, that's cool. I would do a hot air balloon if it's just like tethered. I don't want to go anywhere because I'm pretty assured that it would just go right into a power line. So I like a just tether it, go up, go down. There's a cut to the night before where Dorinda's in the attic with them and she was, I supported you for years. For years.
And she goes, move over. Could you move over, please? Also, God damn it. Couldn't they have given Eva some PTO?
Yeah, she doesn't get a week off.
My goodness. She is working her fucking ass off, which I respect. But I'm also like, give her a break.
She's doing two jobs at the same time.
She's podding and doing a radio show each morning starting at 5 a.m.
That's punishing. A 5 a.m. Yeah. start means like, at least a 4 a.m. wake up.
Yeah.
Who's she, The Rock? No one needs to be up.
She's
that
Mark
early.
Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Getting up at 2 a.m. I'm dying at Tamara and Vicky continuing to troll Dorinda by being like, oh, we got to make the bed. I don't want to get yelled at. We got to make the bed.
I live for Vicky and Chanel because the Chanel she's wearing is like the worst that Chanel has to possibly offer, like a sweatshirt, but she loves it.
Vicky is the bearer.
Tilapia.
She's like Chicagoland.
Yeah, she is she's a Italian beef.
She's like true Chicagoland Al-Anon, like tilapia trauma.
I'm going to say this, which...
Trauma tilapia.
Please come for me, Chicagoland listeners, because this is a little bit weird, but I've never understood the draw of Italian beef. I think it's fucking sick. So sorry, but it's gross. It's a wet beef on a bun. And I've had some good beef like in Chicago, but I was just never like, I was never that girl. I was never like, give me the Italian beef. I just wanted the deep dish pizza or a delicious burger from Portillo's. What? I'm a Portillo's girl. I gotta go get that burger.
Because I'm from from Philadelphia, greater area of Philadelphia. I have to do a hard disagree, but...
I don't like cheesesteak either. You know this about me.
I mean, that's hard for me to hear. But you know what? Italian beef isn't for everyone.
Like, I love an Italian sub. I like a godmother sandwich, cold cuts. But like, juicy wet beef on a butt. Like,
don't ever step foot back in the Chicago lot!
It freaks me out.
I mean,
tell me what to do. I mean, try and change my mind, please. But I'm sorry, like a sweaty wet beef on a bun is like
someone's gonna send you someone from Chicago's gonna send you an Italian beef sandwich with anthrax on it.
They're gonna send me like one of those, you can buy like a make your own Italian beef kit. I don't want it. I don't want the wet juicy beef on a bun.
I love it.
Maybe I do. Maybe it says, I don't know. Ajou
it.
I like a French dip where it's a dry, but then you dip and get the wet.
Do you like roast beef?
Yeah.
Lather me in roast beef.
My dad used to get roast beef.
Lather me in roast beef.
He'd get it cut in thick. So it'd be like a half inch thick. Mm. And we'd cut it up in cubes and eat it with toothpicks. It was so good.
When my sister was in high school, this girl spit all over her car that was mean to her. So my sister put roast beef all over the girl's car to like send a message.
To say that she had like a flappy vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a rumor about the girl that was going around? Mm-hmm. Savage.
I mean, the spit was pretty savage too.
That's pretty crazy that like...
It was this girl,
that
her
rumor
whole...
will like destroy a woman's life. Still kind of would.
I mean, look, if you and your crew roll up to a Jeep and each take turns hawking loogies all over it and like chipping the paint off it.
And if you know that your labia is a little bit longer than the normal gal and you have the balls to really target someone else, then you better be prepared for.
Mm-hmm. That was it was a retort. I remember when I heard that she'd done it, I was like, I was a freshman and I was like, I was like so proud of my sister.
Yeah. That's bold.
She took some bowls, some New Jersey bowls.
Those are some Jersey bowls. I'm gonna go after old beef curtains today.
Gonna go to Wawa, get some roast beef, send her a message. Jill's whispering drama on the terrace with everyone about Dorinda. She's being like, I just want to sit down with her. Quite honestly, I'm terrified of Dorinda. I'm terrified of her. I'm terrified of her drinking. I think she went too far last night. And then Dorinda comes out and she goes, oh, there's a frog. She just grabs
it. Let me get that.
She grabs a frog that they're all scared of, and she grabs it with her bare hand, and it pisses in her hand.
It just fills her hand with piss that drips everywhere.
Disgusting.
I have to say that on the second watch of this episode, I was like more siding with Dorinda.
Yeah.
Because Jill, I'm sorry, Jill keeps going around to everyone. She's like, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room? Like, I don't want to bring it up, but you should bring it up because I'm too. And I'm like, bitch, if you have, it's your beef, like own it and get
it out.
It's
your roast beef.
It's your roast beef sandwich. It's your fucking beef curtains, you bitch. You better just say it. And like, she won't say anything. And I do think Dorinda is mean as fuck. And it's like completely inappropriate. But Jill,
Jill
annoys me. I'm glad that she's not on a Housewives show. I've had just about enough of her on this.
I mean, that was always Jill's thing, though, is that she always sought attention in any capacity, even negatively. Like, she just needs any kind of drama. Like, she seeks it out, and I think she can't help herself. And she knows Dorinda's going to react the way she reacts, and she chooses to do it anyway. But that's not, you know, Dorinda could handle it better, obviously, but Dorinda is also
a fucking drunk.
She's a drunk. She's a pirate.
They relitigate Radiogate again.
She goes, don't stop because of me. Keep talking.
Keep talking. No, we'll talk about it now.
Also, I love that you see clear cigarette smoke coming off screen. I'm like, either Taylor smoking or Tamara or Dorinda.
Yeah, who is it? Own it. Jill says, she's like, well, you didn't have to be so mean. And Dorinda goes, I don't have this problem with anyone else. And I was like, you do have this problem with every single person in your life and also at this house.
Also, that's why you were
at each person. That's why you've been fired.
That's why you were put on pause, is because you scare everyone.
You are a terrifying person.
She goes, poor Eva was just trying to work. I'm like, okay, Dorinda. She's not like, I mean, even Eva says, she's like, it's a fucking radio show. It's not like, she's like, let's chill out.
Yeah, like it just couldn't happen. It's like over and done with.
Poor Eva was just trying to work. I thought it was tactless.
Very thirsty.
The thirsty thing. I'm like, Dorinda, you're thirsty too.
Everyone on the show is thirsty. That's why you're on Real Housewives.
And then she does, this is when I didn't agree with Dorinda, is when she does, she starts going, and you were crying. You were crying. Like, she's being, I'm like, okay, you're being just a bully right now. Jill's fucking annoying, but like, stop. You're being.
Yeah, you could say a million other things that would have more impact. But like, when you get like that about someone who was genuinely hurt, like, it says more about you than it says about them.
And then Phaedra walks out with this fabulous wig and
a blonde unit.
And she apparently is acting. She's booking.
Yeah, what's her fucking movie role?
Yeah, I want her career.
What's her movie role? We gotta see. Was she in, I feel like I know what it was.
Was she in some kind of
was she in like a Hallmark movie?
Yeah, I feel like she was in a Hallmark movie.
Was she in, wasn't there like that? Phaedra Parks. Okay, I'm on her IMDb. This is where it all goes down. IMDb, ever
heard
of
it?
Lord of the Freaks. She's a, producer on Tiny and Toya.
Oh.
Actress, please. Covenant TV series.
Huh.
Love that. Happy for her. I hope she continues to work.
Yeah. She's booking more than me.
Yeah. Vicky goes, they ask Vicky about like Dorinda's behavior. And Vicky goes, whoever told her that she should write a book called Make It Nice should have said, make it not nice.
I was like, hell yeah, Vicky.
I was like, yes, Vic, you're fucking on it. You fucking know what's up. Like, go off, queen.
So they sort of...
like it is, tilapia.
They have sort of a tenuous reconciliation, and then they all head over to the balloon. Brandy is just refusing to go.
Love that.
Also, the balloon, they said it goes 500 feet. I'm like, you're 90 feet off the ground.
Yeah, it didn't look that high.
I'd want to be...
I was into it, but it looked pretty.
I'd want to be in the basket with Phaedra and Tamara.
Oh, for sure. I don't want to be anywhere near Taylor.
No.
Dorinda, I can, like, take it. But, like, once she... If she starts boozing, I'm, like... The more she drinks, the further away I am from her. I would just, like, always be sure to just, like, not be in the vicinity or, like, not even addressing her really directly or indirectly. Taylor makes me so uncomfortable that, like, I couldn't be around her, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, as someone with OCD, I feel like I'd be like, I know you're having intrusive thoughts right now.
Taylor?
Yeah, I'd be like on the basket with her, like, I know you're like, what if I just push Carrie off right now? I know you're thinking that.
Well, because if she's like, everyone has their phones out, and I'm just thinking, what if we'd all topple off of here? And I'm like, okay. Like, I just...
Her brain goes to a dark place.
She's she's unstable, mm-hmm. and she... wears her damage on her sleeve, and yeah. Some people are just like that, but it's as someone that keeps it locked the fuck up, I can't do it. I love seeing her property as a woman.
She's crying. I was surprised Vicky went.
Vicky's bounced back. She's had an incredible journey.
She had a great steroid shot that totally just completely... Like, I wonder if she got
her long COVID.
I wonder if she got the antibody injection.
Mononucleotides.
Yeah.
Do they have those in Great Barrington?
I mean,
I feel like the access to those in Western Mass is probably not.
She probably got
those in OC when she first got COVID. Because I think that's when you're supposed to get them, is like right when you first get COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And in California, like Southern California, I know if you just had 15 hundo laying around, you could get them.
They're all talking about Jill again. And Vicky goes, I think the most we can accuse Jill of is being overbearing.
Diplomatic queen. Vicky for president, quite frankly.
Jill says that Dorinda, they're all having post balloon, they're all having a little lunch, brunch. Dorinda goes and hides in her room to like nap, aka like. Truly saute from her hangover. And Jill says, she goes, you know, Dorinda has become a monster from the fame in her drinking. And I'm like, she's not wrong.
Not wrong, but also kind of takes one to know one vibes.
Yeah, I'm like, Jill, you were at Trump's inauguration ball on the red carpet going up to every photographer going, do you want to take a photo of me? It's me, Jill Zarin.
Yeah, and it's like, that's still going on almost a decade later. You're crazy. Vicky goes, I don't know. Psycho bitch came out at night. The psycho bitch comes out.
The psycho bitch.
Everyone talks shit about Dorinda while she's in her room, which is one of my favorite things that could happen on like a women's vacation.
Eva isn't about talking about someone when they're not there, which I respect. Mm-mm. So she leaves and goes up to Dorinda's chamber of tears.
Chamber, her red blood chamber of horror.
And she's basically like, you know, Jill seems like has you and Jill have like a there's layers to this conflict. And Dorinda starts crying because whenever she faces any kind of retribution or any kind of like accountability, she starts crying.
Fake crying, not a tear in sight.
She goes, I tried to make it nice. And there's
I tried to do everything.
Dorinda's doing this thing which also triggers me, and I feel like it would drive me crazy, so I empathize with Jill, is that she's doing this thing where she's like, I didn't know that we even were that close, or like, I didn't know that you, like, she's basically like, wow, I have so much going on in my life and so many friends that I didn't even realize that you considered me a good friend.
Like feigning ignorance a little bit, but also feigning ignorance is a dig.
Yeah, it's a total dig. And
but she also says that she thinks that Jill is just mad at her because she wouldn't film with her and help her get back on Roni. And I feel like that's valid. She probably is mad about that.
It is valid. And it's also like the real issue is that both of you are so desperate to be back on that show. And I think you see that in each other, and it's competitive, and also like it's embarrassing. And I think you're just rubbing off the wrong way on each other. Because Dorinda is.
Yeah.
You really know, in these more recent episodes, you really see that she's like truly obsessed with being on Roni. Like it's her whole fucking world.
And Dorinda probably does not want to associate with Jill because Jill's been off the show for so long and is now just like kind of like the whole thing is just sad, her obsession with it. So Dorinda doesn't want to be like identified as that. But yet here we are filming this special thing and Jill's there, and that's definitely the Jill vibe.
Totally.
And so Dorinda's trying to like make it so very clear that she's different from Jill. But then Jill is using that as an opportunity to be like, okay, now we can have beef and we have conflict. And if that conflict plays out in front of the cameras, then it creates more intrigue around both of us. And then maybe people want to see this and we get back on the show. But the real rub is no one wants to see you guys have conflict. Like, you're both actually deeply sad.
Grata. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want it, nor do I very much care about their drama with each other.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I guess I like it on some level, like, but I don't like it for 24 episodes of whatever it is that they would bring to the table.
Dorinda had some good, she had some iconic moments, but I think it was time for her to go.
What's untenable, that kind of rage and like
chaotic unpredictability.
Mm-hmm.
Dorinda, they all had to downtown Great Barrington to a little lunch spot, cocktail place.
Moon Cloud.
I was very triggered by the bartender because I just, mixology culture and cocktail culture, it's so cheesy to me. And so, like, go off people who are into that, but it's so cheesy to me and just makes me like, ooh, when I hear people talking about like the different tinctures and putting things, these mixing this with that, and like the chemistry of the, it's like, oh, I can't even relate.
Yeah, you're all just drinking it to get to the same place, which is drunk.
Yeah.
I am suspicious of any sort of pre-made drink on tap, quote unquote. I'm like, that's gross. It's like syrup.
Dirty goes, oh, you gotta have the cocktails.
I'm gonna get a cocktail. Yeah, I want you to craft it. I want you to make it and then make it delicious. And like, you need to really tell me what's in that. Like, less is more with you talking about it. Just like, make it.
Yeah, they got great cocktails here.
Dorinda, this one is delicious. The local alky giving them the lay of the land. It's like, what is there really even to bring to the table? It's like, you got a margarita, you got a burr. Like,
yeah. They go outside, they set up like a little makeshift picnic table for them in the alleyway.
You just hear Vicky go, oh, wow, little alley here.
She's Kirstie Alley.
She
is. Drop dead gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Little alley.
They actually have like a pleasant combo. Phaedra says that she's currently in love with this guy that she's dating, which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she can't say how they met.
Yeah, I'm like,
I was like, what? Crazy. Phaedra? You're crazy, girl.
And then Tamara goes, I still think Vicky's in love with Brooks, which just like sent chills down my spine.
But then it cut back to Vicky and Brooks, and I was like, I get it. Like, Brooks is gross, but there is something that's kind of hot about him. And just knowing that he was dicking Vicky down, like left and right, there's something just like hot about them. Brooks better work.
Brooks.
You know that the dick is good if you're with someone and he's like, I have cancer. And you know deep, you're like, no, he doesn't. But then he just like fucks you so good. You're like, he is dying of cancer.
Brooks is literally Flannery O'Connor's version of Joe Biden.
Brooks is literally every night. It's like Magic Mike up in Vicky's bedroom, and Brooks is Channing Tatum just doing the fucking worm on Vicky.
Uh-huh. And he's like,
Vicky is a
sex. He's like, tomorrow, you're gonna tell people I have cancer. You're gonna say I'm on chemo.
I have to get an MRI. Okay, and she's like, oh yeah, whatever you want, whatever you want,
whatever you fucking want.
I mean, that's like
that's power.
I could see
raw
that's
dick
power. I could see myself like falling for that
raw dick power.
The power of some men.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'll say. You know the rest. Phaedra goes, they're still talking about Brooks, and she goes, did he look good? And Brandy goes, no, he was not attractive. And Pinky goes, nope, that's enough. And we're done.
And we're done. That's not. That's enough.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They go back to the pool, which looked really nice. And Jill calls her incredible mom, Gloria, to bitch about Dorinda.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut back to a photo shoot Jill did with her mom and her sister. And you just hear her mom going, not happy. I'm not happy. I love her.
Love her. There's a special delivery for Jill. Marco comes down with a big flower arrangement. And Jill goes, you're kidding me. Did Dorinda send this? I was like, no.
I was like what? You probably sent these.
Yeah, you ordered them on your phone, 1-800-Flowers.com.
Also,
Gary sent them.
Her mom says, I hope Dorinda has an extraordinarily bad day. And I was like, that's my mom.
You tell her.
Yeah, Gary sent her roses, and everyone's kind of like, ooh.
And he put the apple in there.
Oof.
And then they asked Jill, like, what do you want? Like, you want to be on the show? And she's like, I want to be friend up. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed for you.
Yeah, she needs to really cut that shit out.
It's never gonna happen.
They're all just really, I think they're all just profoundly darked by Jill. Her desperation is just so palpable and just, it showers you. You're positively, it's like getting blasted with body odor by someone. You're just like, oh.
It's shameless. But not fun and flirty shamelessness, just like unaware.
No, it's like Ramona's.
It's like thinking you have a chance at doing that when it's like clear that you don't.
Like Ramona scares is me. Repulsive, but her shamelessness is kind of fun.
It's camp.
This is not. This is like, oh. Dorinda also goes, she goes, the pool is heated for these bitches. So they better swim in it because that's. That's dollar signs right there. And then she goes, I hate swimming in a warm pool. I need it to be cold. And I'm like, that is so Catholic.
Not heating the pool. Like, owning the pool and then complaining about heating it. I'm sorry, but, like, this is, like, a $20 million house. Like, shut the fuck up about heating the pool.
But I love,
Dorinda goes, oh, my God, it's so beautiful out. Dorinda's always like commenting on the weather in like a really scary way where whatever she's saying is not about the weather. It's like she's giving you a secret message about what she wants you to do next.
She's incepting.
And when she says like it's so beautiful out, she wants you to jump in the pool and be like, Dorinda, this pool feels so good. Thank you so much for heating it. Like, I can't wait to splash around. And like
it's
her
terrifying.
Weather comments are directives. That you will either take or she'll catalog your lack of take for later and you will pay dearly for it.
At least we got to see Phaedra looking so hot in her black lingerie.
Mm-hmm. Dorinda takes off her cover up and Phaedra goes, Dorinda, that ain't no bad booty for a white lady.
And then Dorinda belly flops into the pool.
Only Phaedra can get away with making comments about these women's bodies, and it's, like, totally fine. Everyone loves it.
So they all get ready to go to the Red Lion Inn, which looked, I want to go there. I want to like a lobster bisque at the Red Lion Inn.
This is very like, it is very just like New England-y to have just like a shitty wood thing. And then everyone's like, it's beautiful. Like, and it is beautiful, but it is also shitty. And that's like New England.
Tamara's kind of like, it's just old.
Yeah. Tamara and Vicky, the California girls, are not having it.
The Huntington
Beach.
It's
taken me a while to get like, to build appreciation for like the New England aesthetic. Cause before, like, I used to be like, I don't get this at all. Like, it's, and
I
then
ju- I was just foisted into it from a young age. Yeah. So, like, I don't, but I get it. It's like, yeah, it's stuffy. It's kind of like,
it's stately and it's like, it is what it is. You don't ever change it. And you just kind of keep it the same. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it's old. Mm-hmm. And it just has been this way for years. But yeah, it's also not, everyone else that's like not a New Englander is like, this is just old and uncomfortable and shitty. Mm. But then that's like the joy. It's its whole own thing. And it's amazing to see how each of these women interact with it.
Everyone's wearing leather pants. And then Brandy comes down and she looks like Villanelle. I loved her look.
She is Villanelle. Yeah, she turned.
It's like chiffon.
She turned a Luke. She turned a Luke for the Red Lion Inn doll.
She turned a chiffon little girl, slutty little girl dress. I'm like,
the feminine urge to dress like a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm. They get to the Grand Red Lion Inn and Dorinda, she goes, I used to work here. I spent on and off most of my young life here. And she does waitress cosplay on the porch. About giving the lowdown.
She'd be a good waitress.
Yeah, maybe she should just do that.
I think she'd be good. She's like,
she should just run the Red Lion Inn.
Yeah, I think that'd be great for a woman. As a woman, she should do that.
Never in Great Barrington has a woman run the Red Lion Inn.
They're like, never once have we allowed women to own property except for this one woman, Dorinda Medley.
And then I had a true she's starting moment when they hand the martini to Dorinda. And they went, you're dirty Grey Goose Martini. And I went, oh, she goes.
Dorinda goes, is it true the blue seed cheese dressing is still homemade? And he goes, there is no blue cheese dressing. And I was like, oh, she is starting. She had another moment like that where they walk into the dining room and she's like, this was built in 1884. And he was like, that was actually 1772 or something like that. And I was just like, she is living in an alternate timeline.
That's me in Philly. Being like, I know where I'm going. And then being like,
to get stepping outside the airport, just exhaust fumes in your face going, oh, do you smell the air? And looking at me, and I was like, I'll let him have this. Like a bus goes by, and he's like, ugh, fresh air.
I'm truly D in that moment. Vicky, Brandy asked Vicky if she and her sister ever had a threesome together.
I love that there was a rumor of Vicky committing incest in a threesome with her sister.
I have not had sex with multiple partners! I have never been with multiple partners in my life!
Fucking Lori. I forgot about Lori.
Vicky is a sex addict. She's a sex pest.
She needs.
She's a noted sex pest.
Vicky needs slaw.
Dorinda goes, people come from far and near to see this dining room. Oh, I was like, it again, it's like a wooden room. It's an old wooden room. But totally, I mean, I would go.
Vicky goes, why are we going to whoop it up here? I just want to whoop it up. It's so stuffy. And then Dorinda is already three sheets to the wind. And she goes, it's not stuffy. I'm like, Dorinda, take a joke.
Yeah, she's starting indeed. Dorinda is cross-eyed. She like can't even focus. She everywhere she looks, and her eyes are no longer focusing.
She cannot take a single joke. If you make any comment about Great Barrington, it's lights, it's curtains for you.
Dorinda will fucking kill you.
She goes, I'm doing my best.
I'm just doing my best. Vicky goes, I just want to whoop it up.
Vicky goes, I'm doing my best.
I just want to whoop it up. Turn up. Turn it up. Turn it up.
She goes, I'm a happy bitch.
Vicky's the queen. Turn it up. She has one moment to shine before everyone squashes out her light. And then Vicky goes into the fully just place of silence.
Well, then Jill and Dorinda start going for it. And Dorinda goes, you remember, Jill, when you were working? 8 years ago. It's a long time ago, but do you remember? I'm like, oh my God.
Damn.
What you do, then you do, you are more, you do think about Jill more than you are fronting. You know what I mean? Like she, yeah. You are very bothered by Jill. So stop pretending that you don't know these things because you know everything.
Trudeau's, I just want to have a nice time until everyone leaves on Saturday and then I will take a nap. And Pinky goes, we're leaving on Saturday? I thought we were leaving on Thursday. They go, Vicky, do you not want to be here or something? She goes, no, I think 8 days is a long time.
She's right.
She's right. I don't question Vicky anymore. Don't question the questioner.
That was like when my family went on a family friend trip once to the Caribbean, mm-hmm. and we got to the hotel. And my mom turned to my dad and she went, oh no.
It was not to her liking.
Hell. Like, we had fun, and, like, she was, like, a good sport, but she was, like, behind closed doors, she was like, oh, this hotel.
I live for that. That's peak comedy to me, mm-hmm. is being unsoothed by your surroundings and having, like, one or two people to just, like, make fun of it with.
She did. She had one of the other moms turn to my mom, and they were just like...
I love it. I think 8 days is a long time. And someone's like, well, then why are you here? Oh. She just doesn't answer. And I was like, that's tilapia. The queen reigns again. Tilapia supreme. She can still do the show and think that 8 days is too long.
Yeah.
Both can exist.
Journey goes, I didn't talk to you the day of your funeral, Jill. The day of Bobby's funeral. And then we slowly realize that Jill... authorized filming of Bobby's funeral.
Yeah.
Which is dark.
Dorinda tells Vicky to stop being a victim, which I thought was really rude. And then she starts coming for Vicky. And I think that's when Vicky realizes, like, I just now have to be quiet because because this train has left the station and I don't want it to run me over. So Vicky just goes, I'm a positive bitch. And then just shuts up.
Vicky goes full tilapia catatonic.
Because someone, oh, because Dorinda's mad at her because she took a nap. I was like, why is Dorinda mad? And then Dorinda's mad that Vicky took a nap because Vicky didn't really need to nap. She's just napping to escape. But Dorinda naps because she works so hard and just needs a moment to rest. And then Vicky turns to him and she goes, I never slept. I never slept before in the middle of the day.
Long COVID.
Until now. And Vicky is bouncing. Vicky has bounced back. She's overcome. She's looked death right in the face. And she did not walk into the light. She got a steroid shot. So I just think everyone needs to give her a break.
Dorinda is fully dumped. Like Kim Jong-un. Like
she is.
It's opposite day. Like she.
This is North Korea.
You sleep to escape. I sleep to refuel.
Mm-hmm.
You fuck you.
So then once Vicky has gone silent and fallen in line, that's when Dorinda turns her fangs onto Jill. She goes, it was a beautiful night from the woman I had all the way from Queens dancing for us. And you had to ruin it. You ruined the whole night. Like, oh my God.
She drags.
She didn't.
Not only did she drag Jill for being like underemployed for the last decade, but she also brings up the embarrassing truth that Jill allowed Bravo to film at Bobby's funeral because she wanted to be on TV.
And yeah. Just,
and then Jill sort of denies it. And then the producer in her confessional is like, we have emails that say that you okayed it.
And she goes, well, I didn't set who are the emails from. And she goes, are they from my assistant? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, well, don't you think it's weird that I'm not CC'd on the email? But it's like, bitch, that like, this is what's crazy about Jill is that she tries to front like something else is going on. And like her desires are noble. And it's like, just own it. Just be like, yeah, I wanted to be on the show. Like, it's worse to be caught in a lie. She doesn't understand that it's worse to be caught in a lie than, like, think that you're fooling anyone.
She's always been like that, though.
I know, but I hate that. And she says her assistant emailed and asked Bravo to come to the funeral. And she said, and then she, like, gives, like, a fake, She basically says that she did invite them. She's like, never would I invite them. Outside, yes. Inside, no. So she's basically saying, like, I did invite them to film outside the funeral. If you want to get, like...
And then we cut to her and Bethany, and she's going, I'm alone. What are we going to do? I've never not been with Bobby. And then Bethany goes, we're all alone. I was like, okay, Beth.
Bethany is channeling.
Bring it back to you.
We are all alone at the end of the day.
And then out of nowhere, Taylor goes, Brandy, I've got something I'd like to clear up with you. And I was like, oh, fuck. Blackout Armstrong.
I want to clear one thing up.
And I was like, when Madonna with Courtney Love, and I'm like, Taylor Armstrong is in dire need of attention.
Mm-hmm. This is the compact being thrown over the railing.
Oh, God, don't bring her up.
Do you regret outing the fact that Adrian used a surrogate? Do you feel as though that was your job to tell the whole world? You chose to out a mother about a way she had her children. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Shut up.
Armstrong.
Also, when Brandy and her start going at it, well, first she's... She goes, season one, we were all the classy women. And then you came in like a hot stick of cinnamon in a pot of water. And everyone's like, what?
She goes, you're just a little sassy cinnamon stick in a successful pot of water. And then everyone's like, what the fuck is she talking about? And then she goes, what happened was you jumped in the water of a building where were six of us in. And everyone's like, this bitch is gone. And she has asked everybody else how many Critics' Choice Awards they've won.
People's Choice Awards. Let's not go to the Critics' Choice Awards. It's the People's Choice Awards.
She said Critics' Choice, though.
Oh.
But still, who the fuck cares?
Everyone's like, bitch, we're on a reality show.
Yeah, like, everyone knows better. Even Jill knows better than to bring, like, a Critics' Choice Award flex into the conversation.
And then Taylor goes, and then Brandy says something, and Taylor goes, oh, if I jump across this table right now, it's going to be bad. And I'm like, I love that she's a spokesperson for surviving domestic abuse, but she's lobbed several threats of violence so far on this trip in 5 days.
But has she ever beaten someone's ass?
No, but she like makes threats all the time. And I'm like, she's always like, I don't know. It just feels a little
she
like.
She will never. She's all bite. She's all bark, no bite.
And then
she goes, we were the successful ones. We were successful. And then you came in and we were successful.
And then she goes, and then you came in and you were like, oh, it turns into literal Jafar. What was that laugh?
And he goes, you're successful. Were you successful? Because your husband killed himself. And they literally just like didn't even beep that out, just silenced it. That's weird.
Yeah.
You can't say someone killed themselves on is no. that I'm like it's just it's, interesting because I'm like, oh, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah.
You let all these women, this whole show is predicated on women get drunk and say horrific things to each other, but if you bring up someone's suicide, then you're getting silent. It's just like Bravo and NBC Universal acting like they are on some sort of moral high ground.
Yeah.
And like arbitrating where that high ground starts is hysterical to me.
I'd argue Dorinda saying face of an angel, tongue of a serpent is more offensive than her saying something that actually happened.
I mean, it's a low fucking blow, but like, let it be said.
But Taylor doesn't even react that much. And then Dorinda goes, oh, you don't use death. You should have, you be gracious and kind and blessful. And then she leans in with this blackout face and she goes, how about if your son died?
Well, that was later. So then Eva goes, oh, Eva can't take it. She has to leave. She gets up and just fucking leaves the room. Then Dorinda goes, guess what? Death ain't play. Death ain't play. Vicky goes, take it back. Take it back.
Take it back. The queen of death herself, Vicky.
And then the Grim Reaper. When the Grim Reaper says, take it back, you should take it back. And then Brandy gets up and leaves the room to just like take a little break.
I mean, it was an astonishingly horrific comment.
Taylor goes, she turns, it's just her and Tamara and Dornado left in the room, and she goes, it speaks volumes to me about her character. And then Dornado goes, I don't have the capability to go after someone's child. And then they all agree, like, never go after the children. And then meanwhile, Eva, like, comes up to Taylor and to Brandy and Phaedra, and who are, like, taking a break at a table outside. And Eva's like, I had to leave because I just don't do dark shit. So, like, I just had to remove myself from the situation. And Phaedra goes, we are some wealthy women arguing about who said this, who said that. It's ridiculousness. And she goes, all I do know is that these little wood chairs are awful.
It's hard for her.
It's hard. She's very uncomfortable.
So then they come back in and Brandy's like,
meh! It cuts back to Taylor and Taylor goes, I think it speaks anthologies about who she is.
I love it.
Girl. Dorinda goes, my husband died. Death is terrible.
You deserve to be gracious and kind and blissful.
And Brandy's like, nah, I was just making a point.
She's like, yeah, should never go there. How about if your son died? How about if that happened?
And everyone goes, oh, because you do.
The one, goes, oh, leaves again.
The one thing you do in Housewives is you don't bring up the kids.
You never talk about the kids. They're very mafia in that way.
And then this is when it was like, Brandy, you just insulted someone's late husband for killing himself. But you're, Brandy, the most offended she's ever. Oh, she turns her head away from, she can't even look at Dorinda.
She's going, wiping away tears. Just can't even. I'm like, if we've already gone to like the low blow area, I guess anything is fair game. Like, you might as well just use this as an opportunity to hurl insults at each other because you've taken it like pretty dark.
Brandy can dish it, but she can't take it.
No. And then she goes, I'm going to the bar. She just stalks over to the bar and she goes, give me vodka.
Well, first she goes, don't you ever fucking talk about my sons, my children. Don't you ever, I will fucking kill you. And then she leaves and goes to the bar. She goes, give me vodka.
He was coming right up. And then Jill uses this as opportunity. She goes, flocks to Brandy. She goes, you know what's going on here. Dorinda's drinking. So that's what it is. It's just like, God, any chance Jill can get to like hammer home the Dorinda's an alcoholic storyline.
It's like, we all know, Jill. Okay. Like, shut up. We all know.
Phaedra comes over. She goes, oh, that lady could be your mama. You can't do that. And Brandy goes, no, she's only 5 years older than me.
And then everyone dies.
Oh, really? And then even the bartender is like crying.
It's pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
Brandy looks so good.
Well, it's just like everyone wears age. It's like when you see people from like, it's like that thing where it's like, this used to be 52 and it's like one of the golden girls. And then J-Lo is like 52. And you're just like, what is time and age? Age is meaningless.
It's true.
Meanwhile, back in the great room that people flock from near and far to see, Taylor stands up and she goes, okay, let's go back and whoop it. And Vicky goes, it's not whoop it. It's whoop it up. I love that they're like, we just had a dinner where someone threw someone else's husband's suicide in their face, and I posited, what if your fucking son died? And now this is the perfect precursor to just having a fun, flirty, whoop it up night back at the house of pure horror.
Just another,
the walls are bleeding.
Just another night in Great Barrington. There's flies coming out of every orifice in the house.
Yeah, there's like an inexplicable like black spot growing larger and larger on one of the wooden floors of the manor. This house is going to swallow up all these women and drag them to hell one by one. I don't know where you go from here.
It's fucking Amityville.
It is Amityville.
Well, next week is even crazier, so get ready.
I'm so excited. We're going to record it this week, so it'll be out sometime this week. We have to figure that out.
We thank you for being gracious and kind and blissful, for allowing us to have a week of no
a week
potty.
Off a week to rest. I napped because I worked so hard. You napped to escape.
I napped to escape last week. What's wrong with napping to escaping?
There's nothing wrong with napping. Everyone should take a nap every once in a while. In Japan, they have these like new nap pods that are stand up. So you just go close yourself in and then you're supposed to take like a fiver.
Like a phone booth?
It's like literally a cylindrical pod that you just close and you don't even lay down. I don't think I could stand up nap. Even if I was like leaning, I just don't think it's possible. But Japan...
Japan's once again ahead of the game.
They know what it means to get off your ass and fucking work.
Get off your ass and nap.
Get off your ass and nap so that you can get by and fucking work.
I'm so happy to be back.
Happy to be back. Sorry that my energy is like a little bit low. I'm trying
Dole. Dole, you're doing fine, Dole. Love you. Love all of you listening. We are back in action, baby.
Stick around. The best is yet to come.
Bye.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.